Hello and welcome to our weekly reflections on Sunday's liturgy. Today we have before us the Pentecost Sunday. A ship strayed off course near Santiago some years back. It became stuck in a reef at a low tide. 12 tugboats were unsuccessful in their attempts to budge it. Finally, the captain instructed the tugs to go back home. He sighed, "I'll just be patient and wait." He waited until high tide. All of a sudden, the ocean began to rise. What human power could not do, the rising tide of the Pacific Ocean did. It lifted that ship and put it back into the channel. Something like that happened to the early church on the day of Pentecost. They were all together in one place, confused, unmotivated, and fearful, when suddenly the tide of the Holy Spirit rolled in.
Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come with your fire. 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 Come, Holy Spirit, let your fire fall. Come, Holy Spirit, let your fire fall. Let your fire fall.
The word Pentecost is Greek for Pentecostes, which means 50th. The feast received this name because it was celebrated 50 days after the feast of the Passover. For Christians, Pentecost marks the end and the goal of the Easter season. It is a memorial of the day the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles and the Virgin Mary in the form of fiery tongues, an event that took place 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. The Paschal Mystery is completed in the sending of the Holy Spirit by the Father at the request of the Son upon his disciples. The feast also commemorates the official inauguration of the Christian Church by St. Peter's apostolic preaching, which resulted in the conversion of 3,000 Jews to the Christian faith that very day. Pentecost is thus the official birthday of the Church. Today's scripture readings remind us that Pentecost is an event of both the past and the present. The main theme of today's readings is that the gift of the Holy Spirit is something to be shared with others. That is, the readings remind us that the gift of the Holy Spirit moves its recipients to action and inspires them to share this gift with others. The first reading from the Acts of the Apostles describes in detail the miraculous transformation that took place during the first Christian Pentecost. There was first a noise like a strong driving wind, then there were tongues of fire resting on the disciples, and each of them was filled with the Holy Spirit. The first manifestation of the reception of the Holy Spirit came when the apostles rushed out to the street and began to proclaim the good news of Jesus, and everyone there was able to understand them in his own tongue. The miracle of the tongues on Pentecost thus reverses the confusion of tongues wrought by God at the Tower of Babel and described in Genesis chapter 11. Later, the Acts of the Apostles describes how the Holy Spirit empowered the early Christians to bear witness to Christ by their sharing love and strong faith. This anointing by the Holy Spirit also strengthened the early Christian martyrs during the period of brutal persecution that followed. In the second reading, St. Paul explains how the sharing of the various spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit enriches the church. He refers to the variety of gifts given to the church as coming from the same Spirit who activates all of them in Christians for the common good. Paul insists that these spiritual gifts are to be used in the present time for the benefit of others, for the common good, and for the building up of the body of Christ. Today's Gospel relates how the risen Jesus gave his apostles a foretaste of Pentecost on the evening of Easter Sunday by appearing to them and entrusting to them the continuance of the mission given him by his heavenly Father. He then empowered them to do so by breathing upon them and saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit." On the day of the Pentecost, Jesus fulfilled his promise to send the Advocate or the Paraclete. How beautiful is the thought that the Holy Spirit lives within us. St. Paul reminds the Corinthian community of this fact when he says, Do you not know that you are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in you? It is the Holy Spirit who develops our intimacy with God. God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Moreover, we know that it is the Holy Spirit who teaches us to pray. By the power of the Spirit, we also know the Lord Jesus through His church. It is the Holy Spirit who enlivens, enlightens, guides, and sanctifies the church. The psalm refrain for this Sunday says it so well. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth.
Spirit of God, Spirit of peace, come heal our world, let its turmoil cease. Spirit of God, Spirit of joy, live in our hearts that we may rejoice. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Our broken and make whole. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Come fill our hearts with love untold.
What messages do we have for life from today's liturgy? We need to permit the Holy Spirit to direct our lives by constantly remembering and appreciating His holy presence within us, by fortifying ourselves with the help of the Spirit against all types of temptations, by seeking the assistance of the Spirit in our thoughts, words, and deeds, and in breaking of our evil habits, by listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us through the Bible and through the good counsel of others, by fervently praying for the gifts, fruits, and charisms of the Holy Spirit, by asking the Holy Spirit to renew our lives through a fresh anointing, and by living our lives in the Holy Spirit with His help as lives of commitment, of sacrifice, and of joy. It will always be Pentecost in the church, affirmed Blessed Oscar Romero, Archbishop of El Salvador on Pentecost Sunday 1978, provided the church lets the beauty of the Holy Spirit shine forth from her countenance. When the church ceases to let her strength rest on the power from above, which Christ promised her and which He gave her on that day, and when the church leans rather on the weak forces of power or wealth of this earth, then the church ceases to be newsworthy. The church will be fair to see perennially young, attractive in every age, as long as she is faithful to the Spirit that floods her, and she reflects that Spirit through her communities, through her pastors, through her very life. Archbishop Romero's declaration reminds us, as does today's gospel, that Pentecost is not just one day, but every day. Without breath, there is no life. Without the Spirit, the church is a field of dry, dead bones. Fulton J. Sheen once said about the church, "Even though we are God's chosen people, we often behave more like God's frozen people, frozen in our prayer life, frozen in the way we relate with one another, frozen in the way we celebrate our faith." Today is a great day to ask the Holy Spirit to rekindle in us the spirit of new life and enthusiasm, the fire of God's love. Let us repeat Cardinal Newman's favorite little prayer, "Come, Holy Spirit." Come, Holy Spirit, make our ears to hear, make our eyes to see, make our mouths to speak, make our hearts to seek, make our hands to reach out and touch the world with your love. Amen.
May your Spirit, Lord, guide me everywhere I go. Make me a channel through which your blessings flow. May your Spirit, Lord, guide me everywhere I go. Make me a channel through which your blessings flow. May I find you in the sick and in the needy. May I see you in the sad and in the lonely. May they feel your ever-healing presence and find in you the strength they need again. May your Spirit, Lord, guide me everywhere I go. Make me a channel through which your blessings flow. May your Spirit, Lord, guide me everywhere I go. Make me a channel through which your blessings flow.
It happened in Galveston in the U.S. a woman was cleaning the bottom of the cage of her parrot Chippy with a canister vacuum cleaner. She was not using an attachment on the tube. When the telephone rang, she turned her hand to pick it up, continuing to vacuum the cage as she said hello into the phone. Then she heard the horrible noise of Chippy being sucked into the vacuum. Immediately, she put the phone down, ripped open the vacuum bag, and found Chippy in there, stunned but still alive. Since the bird was covered with dust and dirt, she grabbed it, ran it into the bathroom, turned on the faucet, and held the bird under the water to clean it off. When she finished that, she saw the hairdryer on the bathroom sink. She turned it on and held the bird in front of the blast of hot air to dry him off. A few weeks later, a reporter from the newspaper that originally published the story went out to the house to ask the woman, "How's Chippy doing now?" She said, "He just sort of sits and stares." Today's gospel tells us that it was what happened to the apostles. They all were traumatized by the arrest and crucifixion of their master and bewildered by his post-resurrection appearances and his command to prepare for the coming of his Holy Spirit. Many of us can identify with Chippy and the apostles. Life has sucked us up, thrown cold water on us, and blown us away. Somewhere in the trauma, we have lost our song. Hence, we too need the daily anointing of the Holy Spirit to keep us singing songs of Christian witnessing through agape love.